Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. Today we continue our special series of conversations for Advent, where we're listening for love, joy, hope, and peace as we get ready for Christmas. Get Your Spirit in Shape has partnered with Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church for some special conversations with some of our United Methodist missionaries. Today we're talking with the Reverend Israel Payanit, a pastor from the Philippines serving the people of Laos. Pastor Israel learned from a very early age what it means to listen to God. And after years of serving in pastoral ministry, he heard God calling him again to help build the United Methodist Church in a place where there are very few Christians. Reverend Israel, welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you and for clarifying some information in my story. It's an honor to be part of this conversation.
Wonderful. Now, we're talking across a 12-hour time difference today. It's 8 p.m. approximately in Laos, where you serve as a missionary. And I'm calling you from Nashville, Tennessee, where it's approximately 8 a.m. As we get started, can you tell me about your ministry in Laos today?
I came here just 11 months ago, last November 2018, and without knowledge about Laos. But when I step on this land of Laos, it's very exciting. People are so lovely. We are enjoying in our ministry here. I am directing the Laos Mission Initiative with a fantastic team. We have 6 missionaries, 4 are regular, and 7, and 3 are GMFs, or Global Mission Fellows. Under the 4 areas of focus, as much as possible, we have to spread that to a lot of programs and goals to have a good direction in Laos, here in Southeast Asia. Do you want specifics?
Yeah, tell me about the things that you do for the poor in your neighborhood, or the ways in which you're reaching out to the community.
We have our school. We call this school Sunbeam Language and Vocational Center. Our ministry here is to teach English. We have 3 programs under this English instruction. We have after school. We have extension classes to the communities, of course, to teach English, because the mandate now of the government is to study English in the schools and institutions. Third one is what we call in school. So we are also inviting people to come to our center to study English. So that's one thing. I am directing that school now. And that's under the leadership, the coordinatorship of one of the missionaries here. Second, with some leaders, local and missionaries, to visit around the province. Laos is composed of 18 provinces, and we have presence for 8 provinces for now. So we are doing visits, we are meeting people, and we have also ministries with women, we have ministries with children, etc., etc. For now, I am responsible for visiting around.
You're building community, getting to know the people, getting to know their needs, those kinds of things. That seems like an important thing to do as you move into a new place.
It's very important because although this place is a very small place, like they only have 7 million people, but I need to be there because that is their claimor, that the missionary should be there despite of the risk, you know, the risk here. Hmm. We are not recognized. So despite of those risks, this is the kind of life that, you know, I am used to in the southern part of the Philippines when I ministry with the Lumad. So I am used to it, traveling around.
So you came to mission work kind of later on, right? You served in pastoral ministry in the Philippines for some time, even becoming a district superintendent, and then you felt the call to being a missionary. Can you talk about your ministry in the Philippines and then how you felt called to become a missionary?
I started in the pastoral ministry when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
I served in this church. I served as a pastor when I was 16 years old. And without staff, 19 years in the pastoral ministry, including the studies and the seminary, etc., etc., and enter as a district superintendent for 6 years, so total of 25 years.
Wow.
You know, my ministry in the Philippines is so meaningful and very life-affirming. I can say that because despite of the meager support, my passion and commitment to the church and to the community are really priceless. I can say that.
Mm.
Especially that I live in a place in the southern part of the Philippines where we have a lot of indigenous peoples around. Under my district, we have 8 to 13 tribes of the indigenous people. So I serve in that communities, and I always, of course, learn from them. I am nurtured with that kind of ministry there. Then, when I, because I am a scholar also of the global ministries,
mm-hmm.
GBGM invited me to be part of some events in America, like Earth Keepers training. In 2016, I was part of that. And in 2017, that was the start of the, that's one of my gifts, to become a facilitator.
Oh, wow.
So I am part of the roundtable facilitators training in for two times. So then I started talking to people about mission, and I'm not convinced yet because I have a ministry in the Philippines. That is very unique, and I love that. But because of the recent incident that took place in Mindanao involving our three global missionaries, I talked to myself and to some leaders, if these people are willing to sacrifice, willing to give themselves for the people and for the least, less fortunate here, I asked the Lord, Lord, why not reveal to me your ways on how I can be with this kind of people and to emulate the sacrifices of these missionaries, Tawanda, Adam Show, they are my good friends.
Yeah.
So with that questions and reflection, God used the global ministries to be the gate for this opportunity to be a missionary.
Yeah.
So something like that. It was the start.
Yeah, I can only imagine it. And a lot of us have those people in our lives that show us through the things that they're doing what we might be able to do. And it sounds like they were mentors to you a little bit, maybe not in the back and forth leadership kind of way, but just a model of some things that you could do.
Yes, yes, yes. You're right. And especially that before I came to the Philippines and witnessed that, because I visited them in their prison cell.
Hmm.
Before that, I came fresh from Liberia to conduct the round table there. And I also saw the people, which is, I can say, 15 years backward from the Philippines. If the Philippines is third world country, I don't know, how can I describe Liberia? So those things, you know, those things compounded really and gave me that very challenging moment. And then when I came back to the Philippines, that's the time that, oh, Lord, I have to nail it.
Yeah.
Call me in many ways that you can. Yeah, I'm willing. I mean, something like that. So mm-hmm. It's a sort of...
So not all of the listeners might be familiar with the things that happened in the Philippines with the missionaries becoming arrested. Can you share that story?
Yeah, there was this president of us now, President Rudy Duterte. He declared Mindanao as under martial law. So Philippines is divided into three major islands: Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. And I'm situated in Mindanao, the southern part of the Philippines. And the president, because of the insurgency, no, alleged insurgency, that insurgency is not really the issue there, because this is in the guise of the, I can call it, economic or development aggression, just in the name of insurgency. So to make the story short, the president declared martial law in Mindanao. So a lot of Trump upstages were happening there because of this declaration. And now these three missionaries, before the arrest of these three missionaries, Patricia Fox was an American missionary, became a very, what can I call it, man? Sensationalized because of his participation to the rallies and to the forum, etc. And this is normal. This is happening since before, you know, martial law in the Philippines. So we cannot understand that, because this is our prophetic role as a missionary to speak in behalf of the church to speak against these social evils. So there was a massacre there by a family of Lumad. We call it Lumad, or an indigenous people family, in the southern part of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So the national people called this, we call this pathfinding mission. And our missionaries were part of that. Two missionaries, to be exact, Tawanda and Adam Show. So they were part of that nationally coordinated pathfinding mission just to ascertain the veracity of the allegations that the state forces were the responsible actors in that massacre. So they were investigated. They were all detained. There is this trump up charges that they are part of the left group. They call that communist here in the Philippines. So they are accused of, you know, conniving with these people. Yeah. So to make the story short, they are victim of this, martial law. So thus, they were deported.
How is life as a missionary different from life as a pastor or a district superintendent?
My experience as a district superintendent is one of the considerations why they accepted me as missionary and country director eventually in Laos, because of the kind of work as a district superintendent. And to compare my work, I can say that my work in Laos is still a very relaxed work for me, because in the Philippines, I can barely go to the house because I am a mobile person. I have to travel most of the time 4 to 5 hours just to get to my other church.
Oh,
so
wow.
I have 35 churches.
Yeah.
I am a busy person there. And not only in the church, I am also active in the community with mm-hmm. this. This is very important for me. This is what I like for being a Methodist, the scriptural holiness, work of piety and work of mercy. I have to balance that thing. So I love doing that. So this is my engagement there. Yeah.
And you have
I think compare that to the work of Laos, I think I am just reviewing the work of a district superintendent, because I am also training pastors, leading to the training of pastors. I'm also, but the thing is, here I have given that discretion to, it's like I'm a bishop here. So yeah, something like that. But there I'm just an alter ego, just to simply put a difference with the job description.
Right.
So I like managerial planning, etc.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of my work here in Laos.
Is the church in Laos different than it was in the Philippines? Do you notice differences? Do you notice similarities?
There is really a big difference when we compare the church of Laos to the church in the Philippines. I can understand, because this is a mission field. And this is a mission area, because the work in Laos started in 2005, if I'm not mistaken. 2005, yeah. So it's like 14 years from there. So we need to have more trainings. We need to have more awareness building, something like that, organizing, evangelization. But here's the difference. In the Philippines, it's okay to evangelize publicly.
Mm.
But here, you cannot do it. You can only have it.
Is it illegal?
Yes, because this is under Laos is under the communist government. So the only recognized Christianity here is Lao Evangelical Church. We call that Evangelical Church, a typical Evangelical Church. They are one of the big three Christian churches here in Laos. So they have 1,000 churches anyway. And the Roman Catholic Church and the Seventh-day Adventist. So only three churches or denominations that are considered Christian. Now, we are not recognized. We are only 2% in Laos. So 67% are Buddhist, and more than 30% are animist. So recognized Christians are only 2% here in Laos. So if you are caught evangelizing publicly, you can be arrested.
Wow.
Yeah, this is really a persecution. This is really some kind of persecution. It's like, you will be arrested. Why are you doing that?
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you have to do it. You have to engage your ministry here by clans or by groups. So yeah, especially that most of our members are coming from already Christian churches. They just, you know, stopped there.
Okay.
Having fellowship with them and joined the United Methodist Church. So that was the start. So they're really afraid of the government when they do. I have to tone down because I have my neighbors here.
Oh,
so
okay.
They are really afraid, but not this reality is not similar to some villages. There are also friendly villages. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
So they are good, yeah. But my only hope is that.
Yeah.
Because these people here in Laos are so lovely, I can say that when you do some community development works, you can penetrate communities.
Yeah.
So we need really to strategize.
Yeah.
Like
so it's a different way of doing evangelism than you had been used to. Is a lot of it in reaching out and meeting needs, or is there another way that you're sharing the gospel with the people?
Both.
Both.
Both. I can describe that meeting the needs as silent evangelization.
Yes.
They will just know our Christ if, you know, sometimes there are people who will ask me, okay, what is your religion? Something like that.
Right.
That's why we have this school, because this is our legal phase here.
Hmm.
All our efforts, like our community development works, are under, no, to some villages, we have to introduce our school as a responsible establishment for this mission. So they're happy when they receive this kind of support from us. Like,
sure.
I can describe this presence of Methodists here as they know it, but not really recognize, because we are having this community development works. So like water project, we have this livelihood projects, mushroom, etc., etc. So both, it's acts of piety and acts of mercy are the same.
Wonderful. I've always liked talking about those things as well.
I love that.
Let's stick with your ministry now. What's the most exciting thing that's happening in your ministry, and what are some of the challenges and needs that you have?
The most exciting, maybe exciting part of so far for my 11 month here, I love the seriousness and commitment of our pastors. We have 65 local pastors now under our supervision. Yes, for now. And we have more than 60 also congregations. And congregations here are categorized into three: local congregations, home church, and cell group. So they consider that as church, of course, because it is congregation. And I love the sincerity. For two times, we conducted the course of study. This course of study is similar to the curriculum being used by Garrett Evangelical Seminary. And Global GBHEM, the General Board of Higher Education curriculum.
Yeah.
So I love the commitment of the church to move forward. And they are so excited to have a very stronger United Methodist Church here in Laos. So that's one thing that makes me very excited about the work here, because they are so teachable. I can go with them. I can journey with them because of that passion to spread the gospel. So that's one thing. Yeah. And second thing, I have a lot of partners. So I am inspired as a leader to have these partners, you know, because we can reach out more communities because of this. So because we have partners, we have churches. We have now in the 8 provinces, more than 4,000 members of the United Methodist Church here. Yes.
Yeah.
Despite the risk.
Yeah, and is that the greatest challenge? Is the risk the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is really to engage more without restriction, because for now we are under surveillance, but we have to be careful because of this status. That's a biggest challenge for us. We can do more without this.
Right.
For me, that's a challenge that we need to address. And I mean, with Asia people, they are so supportive to me when I said, we need to be engaging in seeking for recognition to the government, because I think we just need to present our case, something like that. That's the biggest challenge for us here. And so, of course, second is the support. This is like sustainability. This is like gasoline for me to the vehicle. our pastors really here are really in need of assistance, because they are still young as a congregation. So we're trying our best to train these congregations to become responsible. We have this program now, the model church, just to develop example to how to become a real United Methodist congregation here in Laos so they can emulate that model.
And we will include on our webpage, the episode page, a link to your advance number. So if people want to support the ministries that are happening, they'll have an easy opportunity to be able to do that. I wanted to ask you also, you talked about in the bio that I read about you, you talked about how you got your name Israel. Can you tell me a little bit about that story?
To simply put this in a very summarized story, when I was 11 months old, the mode of transportation for our harvest is, I know you are familiar with the raft, bamboo raft, right?
Yeah, sure.
Bamboo raft. So I was the youngest then, and our raft hit a very big rock in the middle of the river, and it turned upside down. So that's the thing. So yeah, they are not really intentional in looking for me because I am the youngest. I am the small baby that time, and they need to prioritize my grandmother, my eldest brother, and others in that incident. And it was a really very fortunate maybe that my mother kicked me underneath. He has to get me there under the water. And when she saw me, after 30 minutes, I have no life, sign of life that time. So they just not really throw, but they just turn over me to the people around in that river. And these people were helping me to revive my life for 25 minutes or 20 to 25 minutes, something like that.
Wow.
And after those minutes, after those moments of, you know, rescuing me or reviving me, I vomited a lot of water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I had that life. So they considered me a miracle baby. But after that incident, they baptized me. Mm. Our church before is United Church of Christ in the Philippines. It's also mm-hmm. a Protestant church there. And I am supposed to be named after the name Jonathan. Yeah, to be baptized that name Jonathan.
Yeah.
But because the name of the son of the pastor is Jonathan.
Oh.
Yeah, Jonathan. So the pastor is asking my relatives, okay, do you have other names aside from Jonathan? And my aunt said, oh, I think it's very, very meaningful to name him Israel. Because...
Yeah.
In her simple understanding, Israel someday will lead the people of God.
Ah.
There was a prophetic, can say that. So,
yeah.
when I study high school, I live in my aunt because of a working student. So she kept on telling me, you are a miracle baby. You need to serve the church, something like that. And I said to myself, it's not fair. I want to enjoy the world, something like that. That's the kind of motivation that I am a miracle baby and I am really saved by God with a purpose.
Yeah.
When I was 14 years old, I transferred to the United Methodist Church because of the invitation to join the Young Fellowship, Young People's Group organization.
Yeah.
We call that in the Philippines UMYF. Then I am active for 2 years in that, and when a pastor challenged me in the what we call Christmas Institute. We call that Christmas Institute in the Philippines. Those of you who are ready to enter in the ministry, you can come forward. So I really cried that time. I think, Lord, this is my calling. Okay, I think this is God's will to name him after the name Israel so someday he can lead the people. And this is it.
Yeah. So what do you do today? How do you, I imagine with all the stresses and being away from what has been your home for so many years, and how do you keep your spirit in shape?
Before I accepted this call to become a missionary, I think this is timely for me, Lord, to accept this calling. So I'm prepared. To make the story short, I'm prepared to become a missionary. So for 1 month of processing, I asked my family to, if you can stop with your work. My wife before has a work. So I challenged her to stop her work so she can go with me. So for 5 months she was with me, and in last May only this year I got our kids from the Philippines and study here. So in other words, we are intact, and Laos is just in Asia, so the culture is not really that different, not really that unique. It's like we have similarities here. So I'm at home. I'm at home.
Oh, good.
I'm at home in this place because of the context, because of the culture, because of the promising, the lovely people here, and the promise, the potential of our mission to expand. So well, I am at home with that. I am ready. And I am, you know, because of those experience in the Philippines.
Do you have a favorite practice that you use for your spiritual life?
Here, I used to have that as an expression in care groups. So we have care groups. So we have also in our family in particular, I teach my children to have devotion every night. So we reflect, they are so also grateful. Because compared to our life in the Philippines, so this is like, you know, this is like paradise also for us. So I can say, say we are also developing as an example, as in my family, to get in shape, to practice more about, to develop more my devotion in the church and my faith in God. So I still keep on doing that. And of course, in our relationship with our neighbors, I love doing it.
I can imagine. Well, I really appreciate your time today. It's been wonderful to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, I hope I give justice to your sacrifices now. Yeah, thank you for having me as part of this conversation. I really appreciate that. And I hope my story can inspire people there, out there, and everywhere. Thank you, Joe, for this.
That was the Reverend Israel Payanet, missionary to Laos. To learn more about his ministry of giving joy to the people of Laos, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for this episode of Get Your Spirit in Shape. We put links on the page where you can support Reverend Payanet's ministry and learn more about Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church and their Give Love campaign. There are also links to other episodes of Get Your Spirit in Shape and opportunities to subscribe so you can receive all of these wonderful conversations we share throughout the year. Next week, we're going to meet David Makobo, a missionary who's teaching farmers in Senegal how to more efficiently work their land. I'll see you next week. I'm Joe Iovino. Peace.